Little
Sim,
chair,
vai.
little
Explode, explode.
chair, yeah. Sing with me, guys. Whoa,
Little chair,
that's what friends
no.
are for.
I use that
no,
one.
The song.
I don't either.
Don't use that chair.
Yeah, Kev.
I just remembered this was my chair.
Oh, your headphones have fallen off.
Oh no, I can't hear
How can you hear?
Your
headphones have fallen off. How will you know if you're speaking loudly?
I can't raise my chair. How do I know if I'm speaking loud?
Hold on, my headphones haven't fallen off. Why am I speaking
really
loud?
High to make you feel
you
rubbish.
Only got yours on.
Oh yeah. Oh, I haven't got my headphones on. How do I know? Oh yeah, we might be on air. Oh god, I hope we're not. I'm sure we're not.
Stand by for audio. Got it.
And now,
The Alex Baker Show
brings you one of the most exciting events it's ever been our privilege to bring.
Here we go again.
And this is just the beginning.
The Alex Baker Show podcast.
Bring me the horizon with Doomed on Kerrang Radio. I love the heavy breathing bit at the end. Heavy breathe me, guys. No, not, it's not like that. It's like sexy.
That was sexy.
Try your sexy heavy breathing again. Nothing sexy about that at all. Is that what you do in the evening for tequila? You roll over and Ben go, Keely. She's like, get away from me, Kevin!
The Alex Baker Show.
More time. For another year, Christmas has come and gone already. How does this happen? Every single year, the build-up is so intense. And people are like, Santa Claus is coming to town. The big f***ing Coca-Cola trucks come out. John Lewis spring another emotionally charged advert on you. And before you know it, you're so hyped.
Hype, hype, hype.
Exclusive.
So hyped about Christmas. And then, bam, it's gone for another year. 364 more sleeps until that magical day is upon us. It's not even 364 now, is it? 63 sleeps.
Yeah.
That's although, a lot of sleeps.
Although I still count this as Christmas.
Do you?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because over the years, I've found that Christmas Day itself goes far too quickly. I used to get really annoyed about how quickly it went. And I thought, actually, if I just think of, like, you know, maybe
the Christmas
kind of
period.
4 days afterwards as Christmas, then it doesn't bother me as much.
Do you know, in the intense, dark world of marketeering, marketeers in huge client like agencies and brands across the world are starting to try and focus in on this period, and they've even labelled it Twixtmas.
What?
Like Twixtmas?
The time in betwixt Christmas and New Year's Eve.
Oh.
Twixtmas. So you're going to start seeing a lot more marketing strategies coming out. Let me tell you, I've got the inside track on Twixtmas.
Wow. Like, what are they going to sell? Because
I don't know.
You spend all your money on presents, and then any money you do have left over, you're saving for New Year's.
Exactly.
So what are you going to buy?
Who knows? These people are mad, Renee. Mad. Anyway, so this is the Alex Baker Show. I absolutely have to say, Kev, your heavy breathing is one of the funniest things I've heard in ages. Like, the child inside of me is still laughing at the thought of you sexually heavy breathing down Keely's neck in that horrendous way.
I must say that is my ill heavy breathing. I am very ill.
If you were to do... Imagine Kev on a sex line. Oh, no. I used to know a girl who used to work at a sex line, and she used to say, I can't go into too much detail here because this could get very graphic very quickly, but she used to say, she was probably about 45 when I knew her. This was about 10 years ago, so she's probably about 55 now. She used to tell
cool
me...
maths, bro.
Yeah, solid maths. She used to tell me that there was a guy who used to call up, like, regularly. When I say regularly, I mean at the same time every single week, and he'd ask her to say really specific things involving... Involving a cardigan and the buttons of the cardigan.
Oh, you told this story before.
I didn't know this story.
Yeah. So he'd call her up and he'd say really explicit things regarding what he wanted to do to her cardigan. Just buttons.
Yes.
What? So he was attracted to the buttons?
The buttons of the cardigan.
So was it like sewing on of the buttons?
No, no. It was like putting something on the buttons.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And the worst part of this, the horrible, evil twist in the tale, was that the cardigan that he was imagining the person he was talking to wearing was his mother's cardigan.
Oh, no.
So it was a fetish about on his mother's cardigan's buttons.
So Freudian.
That he used to call up this woman I mean, bloody hell, she made a fortune.
Do these people have to sort of meet any demand of the people phoning up?
I think they're within their rights to tell them to off.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but ultimately, you know, I presume you're only getting paid if you're on the call, right? So indulge their every whim in the safety of your own home, knowing that they're nowhere near you.
But you know what?
Terrifying.
The silver lining of this is that it just goes to show that people are into some weird stuff. No matter what you're into, somebody's probably into it too.
Yeah, someone will help you out if you've got that particular button fetish. Now, I realised something, talking about fetishes, I don't know why we're talking about this. I get too personal on this show, don't I? I get in trouble for it sometimes. I've realised something over the past few months, and I really want your opinion. Now, a friend of mine posted up a picture online the other day, and she was wearing, like, black skinny jeans, ankle boots, and just, like, a top, and she was just messing around with her mate. Like, it wasn't a particularly... There was nothing sexy about the picture at all. You know what I mean? She wasn't, like, in a bikini or on a beach or whatever like that. She was just hanging out in a bar with some mates, and she put this picture up. And I remember looking at this picture and thinking... Something about this picture is so horny. Like, there's something really horny about this picture. And I couldn't, like, put my finger on it. I was like, what is it about this picture that's, like, so horny? Like, it's really... I find it really attractive. And I couldn't figure it out. And I sort of put it to one side and just didn't think about it for a while. This has been going on in my head over the past few months, right? Presumably this has affected me for a lot longer, but I never really realised. And then, so I put it to one side and didn't think about it. And then I was out the other day. And I was having some lunch. And one of the girls I was with... had black skinny jeans and ankle boots on. And as we were walking out of the bar, I looked at her ankle boots and I had that same feeling of, like, intense, like, oh, man, that's so sexy. And I was like, oh, my God, that's the same... Oh, my God, that's the same, like, sexy feeling that I had about that picture ages ago. And it reminded me of that picture. So I went back and looked at that picture and it was the same combination of these skinny jeans and these ankle boots. And then it dawned on me that I've got a real thing for ankle boots.
Like these?
Yeah, yeah. Just like those. But, like, it's a really specific thing. Like, what I'm attracted to... I can't believe I'm talking about this. What I'm attracted to is... It's so difficult to describe. So we have to try and imagine it now. Imagine a girl's leg going into an ankle boot, right? But you know how the ankle boot's got, like, space around it?
Yeah.
So it's not flush to the leg. There's, like, space. So you could, like, stick your hands down there or whatever. I'm not saying that's what I want to do, but... You could stick your hands down the space between the leg and the ankle boot.
Yes.
It's that particular thing that I find really sexy.
Specific.
So specific.
Don't you think that's so specific? And so almost, like, Victorian. You know, back in the day, in Victorian times, where you weren't allowed to show your ankles. And if you, like, you know, if you fancied a guy, you could, like, hitch your dress up a little bit and show him the ankle. And that was, like, the most sexually promiscuous thing you could ever do. Do you know what I mean? I think I might have been a Victorian man in a past life.
I got nothing. This is, just, this is just...
Have you never
revealing.
Noticed that before, though? Like, look out for it in
what
future.
What do you mean if I ever noticed that?
That moment where the leg goes into the ankle boot, but there's space around the ankle boot.
Yeah,
so
I've noticed the space.
Oh, so sexy.
But I've never looked
I'm
at it.
I'm actually getting
thought,
hot thinking about it.
What is it about it that's sexy?
I don't
understand. Is it that you want to put something in the space?
No,
you want to fill the space?
I don't want to fill the space. It's just something about it that, like, I find immensely sexy. Like turbocharged sexiness.
So hang on. If the ankle boots were kind of tight and fitted,
doesn't have the same effect.
I know what you
it
mean.
Wouldn't work
because I noticed that for shopping as well. Because when I look for ankle boots, I like to have the gap,
the space,
yeah,
right?
Because I don't like boots that are tight, but not for a sexual reason.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's just a fashion reason, maybe. But there's a particular type of ankle boot where the bit at the back. So imagine the space at the back of the ankle, right? So the back of the foot. The space there almost kind of goes to a point. So it's like. I can't describe it. Imagine it's like, so it goes like that. So the leg's there and it kind of goes to a point at the back, just behind. So there's a little triangular gap behind the back of the foot in
that's
between.
Like a firm boot, like with like the thick.
I can't even talk about it.
I know what he's talking about, but
it's
not in a sexual
so
way.
So hot. Anyway, so.
Oh, Kev.
Just thought I'd mention that. Have you got any weird fetishes? Let me know. Anyway, did anyone watch see the stuff about Miss Universe this week?
Oh my gosh, it's the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
If you haven't seen it, it was an immense balls up. You know, Ollie Murs got in trouble on X Factor recently because he messed it up and sent the wrong person home by accident or something. I can't really remember because I've not really been watching it. But it happened on the most monumental scale. Imagine this, the Miss Universe final, which I always think is a bit unfair because it's always people from Earth that win.
Yeah.
But like Miss Universe final, and it's on the most spectacular stage. People from all around the world, not the universe, the world, have like come together for this thing. And he announces the winner of Miss Universe 2015 is Miss Colombia. Miss Colombia bursts into tears. Oh my God! People cheering. Yeah, Colombia, Colombia. I don't know if they've got a song. Colombia for the win. Hey! Maybe it goes like that. And like people going mad. She's crying. Then they come out and they put the crown on her head. And she's like being crowned the winner and all the rest of it. Then this guy like comes back onto stage and he's like, actually, my bad. Made a total mistake there. It actually said on the card that the first runner-up was Colombia. The winner's Miss Philippines. Yay! Miss Philippines like, what? So she wins and she goes back out. What I noticed if you watch the footage, Miss Colombia's still standing there, like with the crown on.
Yeah.
And she just carries on standing there, like smiling. It's like, dude, it's not a joke.
Until they take the crown from her. They take it off her head and put it on Miss Philippines. And she's like still smiling, like, yeah, good for you.
Oh, God.
It's awful.
It's just the worst thing ever.
Steve Harvey.
Is that his name?
Yeah. So he's like a well-known like author. He wrote like Think Like a Man. And you know those films, Think Like a Man.
He's an author.
The book, Think Like a
an
Man.
An author that can't like read.
It's so bad.
It's like Pavarotti.
He's a TV show host.
Well, he hosts the US version of Family Fortunes.
Does he?
Family
Feud.
Oh,
so big in the game.
So, yeah, he's it's like the equivalent of, like, I don't know, Stephen Mulhern method it up or whatever. But also, what's quite interesting...
Stephen Mulhern doesn't present Miss Universe.
And he hasn't got any films. He's got... Steve Harvey's got two.
Oh, has he? Okay, fine. But what's interesting, and if this is the case, I feel so sorry for him, because if you look at the footage from the kind of front view, if you look at the way he's holding the card, and then if you look at what was on the card, because he later showed the card to the camera to prove, you know, who the actual winner was, the winner's name, so the top left corner had the runners-up names. The winner's name was in the bottom right corner.
It's a weird place to put it.
It is. Yeah. And if you look at the way he's holding the card from the front, you can almost imagine that from the back, his thumb would probably be over the winner's name.
Oh, because he's holding it in his right hand.
Because he's holding it in his right hand from the bottom corner.
What a stupid place to put it.
So you can see his four fingers around the front of the card in the bottom right of the card. Ergo, if you look at the back of that, his thumb would probably be there.
I love that you've Kev analysed this.
Yeah, obviously.
That's amazing. Brutal. The most brutal thing I've ever seen. And fair play to Miss Colombia, who also looked surprisingly like that girl Modern Family, right? I thought it was her. I was like, that's a bit unfair. Getting super attractive actress to win. I thought they were supposed to be unknowns. Anyway, let's do a special round of pronouncing things like an American.
USA!
Pronouncing things.
Oh, say, can you say?
Like an American.
Yo, come back now, you hear?
This week on Pronouncing Things Like an American. Massive.
Oh my life, it's been a season of finals. Either of you guys watch MasterChef Australia?
No, mate.
Right, there's a spoiler coming up right now. If you do watch MasterChef Australia and you don't want to hear who wins, I'm about to talk about it now for about a minute and a half. So turn your radio off for a minute and a half. Ready? Go. I've watched every single episode of MasterChef Australia this year. It's 61 episodes long.
Wow.
What?
61. It lasts for months. In Australia, it lasts for, like, I think more than half a year. But in England, they show an episode every day, Monday to Saturday. Every single day. It's like another episode. I've watched all of them. They're all at least an hour long.
And that's
right?
One series.
So I've dedicated over 61 hours of screen time to this programme. And the final happened, and there was two people, Georgia versus Billy. It's forget everything you know about MasterChef. It's so much better than the UK one. It's so glitzy and fast-paced and funny and emotional. All these family dramas, so brilliant. And anyway, Billy, consistently throughout the whole thing, had been absolutely amazing, this girl. She was absolutely just smashed the shit out of it. Brilliant. And not only was she an amazing chef, but she was also, like, lovely. Like, Australia, like, fell in love with her because she was such a nice, honest woman, really always helping people out. You know, if people were struggling, she'd finish what she was doing and then go and help them. She'd always be the first to help. She's just absolutely amazing. The last challenge was set by Heston Blumenthal, right? So Heston came out and he gave him this challenge, which was absolutely ridiculous. Like, he actually said that in his restaurant, the person that was responsible for one of the elements on the dish practiced for 3 days to get it right, couldn't, and we had to check him into a clinic because he was that stressed out about it. And that was one element of about 50 elements in this last dish. I've never seen anything like it. There was like a golden dome made of this like sugar cane that was so thin you could snap it with your eyelashes. Do you know what I mean? It was just incredible. And she made it, Billy, and she actually got every single element on the dish, absolutely smashed it, didn't even break a sweat. And then at the end, by contrast, the other girl who was in the final, Georgia, was like all crying, dropping stuff on the floor, like sweating, like absolute nightmare. Anyway, Billy won, right? It was a dramatic comeback as well, because that was the last challenge of the final, and she kind of won, got more points than Georgia by a long stretch.
Can I just point out that you told people to come back after a minute and a half.
It's been longer than that.
You said Billy won at like 1 minute 50.
Oh no, that's the worst! Oh no, I'm so sorry. Well, anyway, Billy won. MasterChef Australia is what we're talking about, just to make that absolutely clear. Sorry. Every single year, at the very end, there's this moment where they start awarding the prizes. They go, oh my God, you won. How does it feel to win? Oh, I'm so excited. Or you've won $250,000. You've won a car courtesy of this person. You've won this, you've won that. And then they give a runner-up prizes to the runner-up and everyone's crying and excited. And then Heston, who was like, obviously just judged it, this last thing with a bunch of other judges, he was like, there's one more thing. And everyone was like, oh, what's he going to say? Now, bear in mind, Heston Blumenthal's got restaurants all over the world, right? But the archetypal, the primo, the absolute mother of all restaurants that he owns, like, his baby is the Fat Duck in Bray, right? It's like the ultimate creme de la creme of restaurants. It's sold out all the time. People come from across the whole world to go to Bray, to go to the Fat Duck. It's the one. Do you know what I mean?
Where's Bray?
That's what
I'm somewhere in the UK. But the best, I think it's near Somerset, but I may have that completely wrong.
Okay.
I think I have got that completely wrong. But anyway, the best of the best of the best work there. It's the number one. Anyway, so he was like, one more thing. I was like, oh my God. And Billy was like crying. And she was like, oh my God, what's he going to say? He was like, in all my years, I've worked with a lot of chefs, a lot of professional top-flight chefs, and I cannot remember the last time I've come across a cook that has the composure and the skill and the raw talent that you've got. And she's like, oh my God, like crying. And everyone's like going, oh my God, this is incredible. And he was like, that's why I want to offer you a job. And you're thinking, oh, he's going to say at the, you know, Heston place in Sydney or whatever, at the Fat Duck. And everyone's like, no! What the f***? And it was literally, I was crying so much I couldn't breathe. Like, it's one of the best things I've ever seen on TV. So this girl from Australia, who like half a year ago no one knew who she was, she's now won $250,000 and she's moving to England to work at one of the best restaurants in the world with, and she's going to learn specifically from Heston Blumenthal. How cool is that?
Also, what was the
X Factor? Stick that up your ass.
What was the actual prize? Because I'm assuming that wasn't the kind of planned prize.
Oh, the actual prize is $250,000, right?
Oh, it's just money.
Money. No, and you get like a column in Delicious Magazine, which is like a massive Australian foodie magazine.
Right, okay.
So you get like a monthly column in that. And I think you get a cookbook deal as well, maybe. So there's quite a lot of stuff. But also, MasterChef Australia in Australia is like big news. Like, it's much, much, much bigger than X Factor in the UK. Like, imagine when X Factor was in like year one and like millions and 15 million people watched it or whatever. MasterChef's like that. I think it's like the number one rated show in the whole of Australia.
Yeah.
So,
that's cool.
You guys aren't excited enough. You had to have been there. Tell you what, it was brutal. But yes, it has been a season of finals. Strictly Come Dancing came to a final as well, came to a head. And Jay, who was previously in The Wanted, which I still think is weird, the fact that a guy who was essentially a professional dancer, like learning dance routines all the time as part of his job, is allowed to win.
Were they a dancing group, though.
Yeah, the Wanted had dance routines.
I thought they were like a Westlife. I thought they were like a stand-up.
No, they were kind of like, oh, gonna do some basic choreography. Huh, gonna thrust my hips around. You know, it's that kind of...
Exactly, it's basic choreography.
Yeah,
isn't
no,
it?
But
it's a different skill.
Still got to learn some dance moves.
Because,
I mean,
you know, Peter Andre, he you could argue the same about him, but he went out like weeks ago, right?
Yeah, but that's Peter Andre, though, isn't it? Yeah, exactly. That's his move. Yeah. The little guns and the kind of...
Under a waterfall. Slight, he can only do it underwater.
The slight... I can't... I look so fat. God, why don't I look like Peter Andre? I'm glad I like my face, but his body would be nice. Because his face is...
I'm just imagining your head on Peter Andre's body.
Yeah, that'd be good, right?
Under a waterfall.
No, is that your ankle boot?
In ankle boots.
90s Peter Andre. I don't know what his body looks like now.
No, all shriveled and horrible, I'm sure. But anyway, The Wanted Jay did an interview with Zoe Ball on, I think it's called like It Takes Two to Tango or something like that. It's like a chat show about Strictly Come Dancing.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the weirdest thing that's happened all week. And a fan sent a video in of their mega cute like little son, probably about 4 or 3 years old, dancing around while Jay was on TV. So he's like a massive fan of Jay, and Jay's dancing on TV and the music's playing, and this little cute little blonde curly haired 3-year-old kid is like dancing around going, yeah, Jay's my favourite, I love you, Jay, da 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 da. So they showed Jay from The Wanted this video and like asked him his opinion. Have you not heard about what happened?
Yeah, I
haven't.
Oh my God, listen to this.
One of your biggest fans could not contain himself, Evelyn.
So, visuals of the little kid dancing around, Jay's watching it, sort of smiling along. Oh, this is so cute. Oh, look at him go, he's so cute. Here we go. Listen carefully.
No. That is Little Ray from London.
Hello, Ray.
His mum, Lindsay, sent that message in. In years to come, he's going to love you, Lindsay.
That's made my week.
A nice recovery there.
Yeah, I just want to cut off his hair.
Squeeze him. Squeeze
him. Hands and feet and squeeze him.
And
put him in a bag and just kick it. Cute.
What the f*** is wrong with him? I want to cut off his hair. Firstly, Zoe goes, isn't he cute? And Jay goes, no. He just goes, no, like that. And then he goes, oh, yeah. I just want to cut off his hair and his hands and his feet, and then I want to put him in a bag and just kick it. That's what he said. What the f*** is he talking about?
I just want to cut off his hair.
Squeeze him, squeeze him.
Hands and feet and squeeze him.
And
put him in a bag and just kick it. Put him in a bag and put him in a bag and put him in a bag and just kick it. I just want to cut off his hair.
Squeeze him, squeeze him.
Hands and feet and squeeze him.
And
put him in a bag and just kick it. Kick it. Kick it, kick it.
I can't believe that actually happened. I mean, I get where he's coming from. It's that thing where you go, oh, I just want to get his cheeks and just squeeze him because he's so cute.
But kind of taking it to just such an extreme degree.
Put him in a bag and kick him, this little kid.
Put him in a bag and just kick it.
In a world of only loving music by Morrissey and having very few interesting character
traits. Singing your own theme tune.
One man. Has a dream. Five stars. Said no one ever. Boring. Stated Radio Today. This is Kev's Movie Minute.
Kev, can you chuck me that snare drum, please?
Which one?
Cheers, this one. Yeah. Wait, you really threw that quickly.
I thought I had more time.
You're like, yeah, this one. I was like, no, it's not enough time. Just right, so it's time for Kev's Movie Minute. We've not done this in ages. This is where Kev talks about a movie and me and Renee have to guess what it is. What's the score at the moment? I can't even remember.
Well, I'll put this to you, good sir. Seeing as it's the last one of the year, I think
winner
it should
takes
be...
all.
Winner takes all.
Winner takes all. Okay, plan. Kev, please make sure I win this.
No.
Okay.
So this is where Kev has to talk. Kev doesn't know anything about film, so he thought it'd be hilarious to give him his own film feature. And this is it. Kev, over to you.
Okay, I'm just
gonna... No, we need sounds.
Oh, yeah, I need buzzer sounds.
Yeah, let me just pull up my notes.
Mine's going to be, winner! Just to intimidate you.
Mine's going to be, Darth Vader.
Oh, really? Yes. Darth Vader. You fancy Darth Vader, don't
I
you?
I do. Well,
so
I did.
Weird.
Until Jake Thompson ruined it for me.
Why? I'm really not okay with this. This is almost as weird as Alex's ankle boots thing.
What, that Renee fancies Darth Vader? Yeah. Is it all the PVC?
I like his presence.
Wipe clean.
I like his theme song.
You like his presence?
Well, I did until Jake showed me his face and... No, I don't.
Is it because he's masked? Do you have a thing for masked men?
No, I just like him, how he strolls in, his cape's all a-blowing, and he's all like, yes, everywhere. He doesn't say that much, but what he does say is like straight to the point, and then like if you disagree with him, he like chokes you.
Oh, right.
No, like, no, okay. I just... anyway, movie minute.
It's really fetishy. Right.
So, buzzers, can we confirm the buzzers?
Mine's
please?
Winner.
Okay.
Darth Vader.
Okay.
Good.
Come on, Kev.
So, you ready?
I'm born ready.
So, this week, I watched a Christmas film.
Hey!
Darth Vader.
Hello.
Miracle on 34th Street.
No.
You can't do this, Renee.
Oh.
You can't just keep buzzing.
Why?
Just because.
Well, she technically can buzz as much as she wants.
No, I've introduced a new rule.
What, you have a limited number of buzzes?
Yeah, you're allowed 10 buzzes in the whole competition.
Okay.
So you've got 9 left.
Okay, sure. So this is a Christmas film that until this week I had never seen before.
Ugh.
Shamefully as well. Because a lot of people would argue that it's a classic.
Winner!
Hello.
Die Hard.
No.
Oh, I've only got 9 guesses left.
Still not seen it.
Have you not? Oh, Kevin!
None of them.
I'll
watch it next Christmas.
Oh, Christ.
Maybe.
Go on.
So it comes from Paramount Pictures in 1988. Was the release of this film.
Darth Vader.
Hello.
Trading Places.
No.
Is that a Christmas film?
Yeah.
Oh, well, is it?
It's set at Christmas time.
Oh, okay.
Snow.
Okay.
Eight guesses left, Renee.
I would say that it's more of an... I don't mean explicit in a kind of rude way, but it's more... Obvious is the word I'm looking for. It's more of an obvious Christmas film. So not in the same sense that Die Hard is considered by some a Christmas film.
Right.
Just because it happens at Christmas.
88.
It is a Christmas film.
It's a long time
ago. I would also say that it falls within the category of comedy Christmas film. It is a funny Christmas film.
Winner.
Hello.
Jingle All the Way.
No.
No. 88.
Yeah, no. I figured that might be too early.
Much later than that, wasn't it?
You don't know.
He's on IMDb now. Look at him cheat.
No. Well, I'm actually on. I don't know what I'm on.
Doesn't matter.
But I'm just getting my additional notes. That's all. It has a score of 67% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right.
So you know, not bad. But I actually really enjoyed this film, and a lot of people consider it a bit of a cult classic. Now I wasn't aware
Darth
of
Vader.
It. Hello.
Gremlins.
No.
Oh, great film. 7 guesses left.
Once again, I wouldn't consider Gremlins one of those obviously Christmassy
films. But
they
wear Christmas hats in it.
I know it
happens
at Christmas.
Yeah, but it's not about Christmas, is it?
Yeah, it's not about Christmas, whereas this most definitely
is about Christmas.
Is. It's one of those films that I always discounted previously, and this is why I never watched it, because...
Winner!
Hello.
Home Alone!
No.
Oh.
Because I always thought that it was just another version of the classic...
Darth Vader!
Hello.
Scrooge.
No.
Darth Vader.
Hello.
Muppet's Christmas Carol.
No.
What's it called? The thing with Scrooge in it. Oh God.
Darth Vader. A Christmas Carol.
No.
Darth Christ. Carry on.
You've
only got 5 guesses left, by the way.
So I always thought it was just another version of Scrooge.
Oh no, I thought I had it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll give you that. But however, whilst it does contain the classic Scrooge
so much
story,
pressure.
Yeah.
It is placed around a story within a story of that classic Scrooge story being told.
So it's someone being visited by 3 ghosts, like past, present, future.
And winner!
Hello.
Scrooged.
Yes!
That,
I didn't realise.
One letter off.
I didn't realise that was so old. I thought Scrooge was earlier, like more recent than that.
No. I said that.
You said Scrooge.
It's the same thing.
It's not the same. Big difference. I don't even know if Scrooge without a D is a film.
But no, exactly, because it was Scrooge. And I was thinking of the like artwork in my head.
Thinking artwork is not the answer.
Technically,
you know?
I won.
The answer is clearly Scrooge. That means I win the whole season.
Yes.
Tis the season to be jolly, after all. Right, I've not seen that film. What do you say?
And you still got it.
How many kebs?
I'm impressed.
Yeah, because I told him.
It was a bit of a hint there, I have to admit.
I would give Scrooged a mighty 15 kebs.
Wow! 85%.
I really enjoyed Scrooged. I forgot how hilarious Bill Murray is.
Oh, he is hilarious.
And it was just such a refreshing approach to a Christmas film.
Was hilarious. Is he dead?
No.
Is hilarious.
Yes, it's hilarious.
He died in Zombieland. That's my
He's got an Netflix special, hasn't he, this year? A Christmas thing.
He does. Of course he does.
But yeah, because I never realised what it was. I just thought it was another Scrooge film.
Yeah.
But it's actually Bill Murray is a TV executive.
Yeah, and he's an arsehole.
And his network are putting on a live TV production of Scrooge.
Yeah,
but
that's
right. But then the things start happening to him in his real life, and it's...
I think I've seen like bits of it. It was on TV recently, wasn't it?
I don't know. It might have been.
Well, how did you watch it?
Well, I watched it on TV, but I watched it... I watched it on demand on TV. I didn't watch it, like, live.
Oh, right, okay.
I would recommend that for your Christmas viewing this year.
There we go, 15 kevs, bearing in mind that the fewer kevs, the better, because nobody likes kevs, apart from us here at the Alex Baker Show. Stay exactly where you are. On the way, we're going to be talking about the fact that a study has proved that people that swear more frequently are more f***ing intelligent.
The Alex Baker Show podcast.
All right, Troubles, Alex Baker here. Listen to my show. Thank you very much for joining me. It's not just my show, though. In the studio with me is Kevin Esquire Hingle to the f***ing single.
It's the listener's show.
Absolutely.
This is for you guys.
It's you guys. We don't do it for us, we do it for you. Also, Rini Alini's in the house.
It's all for you guys.
It's all for you. It's all about you.
What are you singing?
I don't really know. Welcome to the show anyway. This is what happens. We sit around and talk about various different things for an hour here on a Sunday night. Also, make sure you download the podcast.
Download the podcast!
Yeah! And have a little rate and review of that podcast too.
Rate and review the podcast.
Deal. I mean, when it comes to tunes to talk over, it doesn't really get much better than this. Yeah. It's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read when... I'm sorry, anyway. I'll go bash my head against the mic. A study has proved that people that swear more frequently are more intelligent. Fact. Now, when these studies happen, it's always worthwhile, like, sticking your head under the bonnet and having a little look around to see why, who funded it is often a good one to ask as well. You know, especially with food, often you'll see like a food study. Oh, it turns out that eggs are absolutely fine for you. No cholesterol at all. Have no impact at all on your health and well-being. Research funded by the egg group or whatever. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Oh, soft drinks. Don't worry about it. They don't contribute to nationwide obesity. Nothing to do with it. Funded by Coca-Cola industry. Now, that's actually what happens like in the actual real world. So yeah, I'm always a bit skeptical. But someone has done a study, and I didn't bother to find out why, because it was just so stupid, that apparently, if you swear more, you're more intelligent. And I have only one thing to say to that, guys. I f***ing knew it. luckily, we're very lucky here at the X-Specter. We're blessed, really. And when we get to the yearly budget meetings for how this works and who gets paid what and all the rest of it, it's always very difficult. Because 90% of the budget goes to a guy who's almost like a silent partner here at the show. Never really says a lot, but he's always there in the corner. You have to kind of picture the scene. He has this, like, he's not upgraded it in years either. Kev, can we sort him out with an upgrade for his swear button?
I don't think he'd be as effective with modern technology.
Because his swear button's huge. Like, it's literally like...
But it's like an extension of him, and I think if you try and change that...
It might not work
out. It wouldn't work
out. He's shaking his head, so he's obviously not keen.
Yeah.
But essentially, it's a guy called Tony the swear button pusher. How old are you now, Tone? He's sort of shrugging. He doesn't say anything, by the way, he just never talks. But Tony's been in this sort of broadcasting game for years. You know, whenever there's a show that requires someone to push the swear button, he does it. And the reason he's so good at it, and like, we haven't talked about Tony for ages, the reason he's so good at it is because he has this unbelievable skill where he's able to kind of read what people are going to say. So if he can kind of foresee that a swear's coming, and he's got little cameras set up around the rooms with, like, you know, that he has on his kind of like panel in front of him, so he can see people's mouths and kind of sees what shapes they're about to form. So if you know, if you want to freak him out, if you start forming like an F sort of shape, like a you can see him going like tetchy and his hand goes over his little swear button. But you know, he's never ever once beeped me if I've ever said freak. He's never done that. He's never, ever done that. No. But if I say straight away on it.
Like, even if you go an FU, so like a kind of, I'm so full up.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, holy hell, I had so much good fun the other day. Not that you'd say I had good you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's a bad example.
Still got it.
Guy's still got it. But anyway, you've got to imagine he's got this little wooden block on him, on in front of him. And in the front of the little block, so like facing his eyes, there's a few little screens with these little panels so you can see people's mouths. And then on top of it, there's just this big red button. So it's not like a little button that you press with a thumb. It's like a, almost like a
plunger.
A plunger that you'd use to detonate a building. Yeah. So it's like that, but without the plunger handles. It's just a big red button. And he just hits that. He just sits there silently doing his thing. So Tony, I wanted to ask you, both stupidly, I wrote down, let's talk to Tony about the swear button thing, forgetting that Tony never talks, so he can't talk to
well,
Tony about it.
Well, let's talk at Tony about
it. So we're
going
to talk at Tony. Let's everyone just get away from your mics and just all look at Tony. The fact is, this study's been done that says that people that swear more are more intelligent. Tony, what do you reckon about that? Thumbs up. Right, he's going for the thumbs up.
All right.
So in all your years, Tony, of doing swear button pushing, have you found, generally, that people that swear more are more intelligent? Thumbs up. For real? Thumbs up. My God. See, there we go.
I would feel like maybe Tony would resent people that swear.
Well, because it feels like he's working too hard.
Although, I guess that's your livelihood, though, isn't it, Tony?
Well, no swearing, no Tony.
Yeah.
So
I don't know how Tony preempts it.
So maybe that's a biased opinion as well.
Possibly, yeah. Oh, right, yeah. Maybe he's not the right person to ask.
Mm.
He's not going to say no, is he, and insult everyone in here that swear all the time. But anyway, this study, basically what they did is they got like a bunch of what they encouraged people like in a control group to think of as many swear words as possible. And this is why the study's a bit dubious, right? And then the second thing they asked people to do is just think of as many different things in a collection as possible. So they'd say, think of as many animals as possible. So these people would sit there and think of as many swear words as possible. And the people that came up with the most swear words were also the people that were able to come up with the most other words. So for a start, they were rating intelligence on how many words you can come up with.
Well, that's just memory, not intelligence. Surely.
Yeah, but it's quite interesting because usually people say, "Oh, don't swear; it's lazy." You're like, "Oh, you're only swearing because you don't have the vocabulary to express what you really mean."
No,
but it turns out that's not true.
Right?
Are you swearing emphatically?
I swear because it's great, and also. I can't help it. And you know what? Sometimes, like, a swear word just really encapsulates what you're trying to say.
It does.
Like, you know, you don't have to, like, be all long-winded about it. Sometimes you're being a and you just, that's the only way to explain to someone how they're behaving. You are being a
yeah. Wow.
I think if
they don't mess with Renee, huh?
The way I look at it is, if there weren't a purpose and a place in this world for swear words, they wouldn't exist.
They wouldn't have caught on.
Yeah.
People just wouldn't use them.
So
there've been swear words from the dawn of time. Remember Chaucer?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like what was that play, The Miller's Wife or something? That's rude.
Properly
talks
rude.
About her haunches and stuff.
Haunches.
Like, so there was like old time naughty
You're
words.
Not gonna start talking about ankle boots again, are you?
Well, who knows what haunches are?
Even just thinking about it, it's got my heart racing.
Nether yeah. Like, who knows?
Nether yeah. But anyway, let me know what you think. Do you think people that swear more are more intelligent, or do you think that's just a load of old Nice one, Tony. God, I love Tony. Gets paid a fortune, you know, guys. Minted. Does keep us from getting huge fines, though.
You know, if we, controversially, if we just stopped swearing.
Could do that.
So we didn't need Tony anymore.
Why are you saying that when he's sitting right there?
Because I know he can't talk back. Would we all get paid more?
Well, yeah.
It's a hypothetical situation. I don't want this to happen.
I don't think
I'm,
we could. I don't think
tone.
We could stop swearing.
I thought you were going to say, could, I don't think we could possibly get paid more. I was like, well, I think we can.
Hold up. I actually very rarely swear, so I'd be fine with this. But
yeah, you do not. You don't swear a lot.
True. I thought it was just you're trying to be on your best behaviour in front of us.
No, I just not. I don't really. I don't know. I just don't like swearing that much.
This is the only radio show I've ever done, ever, where I swear.
Yeah.
Like you, because usually I haven't got Tony, so I can't swear.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the only show, pretty much, I'd say pretty much one of the only shows in UK radio that has a swear button pusher.
Mm.
Probably
so
the only show. Do you
we've got
the
him
only
on an
show?
Exclusive retainer, so.
Well, he doesn't work for anybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why it's so expensive. Cheers, Tony.
Just thinking about what you said about that article and the fact that Kev never swears, does that then mean that Kev's an idiot?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the other problem I have with this study
Spot
is
the thicky.
So we're talking about
there he is. The Alex Baker Show podcast. There are bands that have introduced so many people over the years to the worlds of rock and metal. a feeder band of sorts. I remember talking to Ollie Sykes from Bring Me the Horizon years ago, and he said one day he hoped that Bring Me the Horizon could be a kind of band that would introduce people to rock and metal. And I tell you what, Ollie, you have succeeded. That's the Spirit has introduced so many people to that type of music. Says Kerrang Radio. What you saying, player? Blagging it. Oh, yeah, we're blagging it. On the Alex Baker Show, blagging it. Mother, we're blagging it. Blagging it. Blagging, 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 blagging. Right, we haven't played Blagging It for ages. It's a very simple game. I hate liars. I don't like people that lie. So what I do is I practice lying. No, that's not what. That's not right. I've said it badly. I hate people that lie badly, right?
Yes.
Lying's one thing. Lying badly is a personal attack on my intelligence. So when someone talks to you and they lie to you and you know they're lying, you kind of want to go, you're lying to me. Stop it. Because you're lying so badly and it's so obvious, but you don't want to say that because you don't want to be confrontational. So they just get away with it and it's so annoying. So this is a feature I devised where we all practice lying so everyone can be better at lying, which doesn't sound very moral, but it's got a nice heart to it, really. So how it works is this. I've got a bunch of envelopes. We tear an envelope open. The envelope inside contains a different topic, and we have to talk on that topic for a minute. And the other guys in the studio and you guys at home have to decide whether that person actually knows what they're talking about or whether or not they're blagging it. And the whole purpose is it has to be indistinguishable. If you're blagging it has to seem like the truth. That's kind of like the whole point. Are you ready to play, guys?
Yes.
No.
There's a minute on the clock. That's the Spirit, Kev. There's a minute on the clock. Renee, you're going to go first.
Oh, okay.
Your blagging it topic it is the Tudor dynasty or dynasty, depending on where you're from. 60 seconds on the clock. Renee, tell us everything there is to know about the Tudor dynasty. Let's do this!
So we've been doing the Tudors for so long. We've done it all throughout school. And it's a family in English history that had loads of kings and queens. And then there's the War of the Roses, which was amazing, you know, with the white rose and the Tudor rose and the red rose, and they brought it together and made the rose. and Henry VIII was a Tudor, I think. Wasn't he? And he had loads of wives. Catherine of Aragon, Anne Boleyn, Jane Eyre. Not
Fonda.
Jane Grey or someone was a queen. I think she had some ties with Scotland. So the Tudor family was really like a cornerstone of English history. That's why we learn about them so much. And this is a really long minute.
Yeah.
And also Tudors. They were all into like beheading and like really horrible corporate justice.
There we go. Wow, a few learns there. Don't mention any names if you don't know the names, because or at least be able to say a name.
Jane Eyre.
Confidently. Jane Eyre was in there. Catherine of Aragon, I think you said.
No, Catherine of Aragon.
Arrogant. Although Henry was a Tudor, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Henry Tudor,
I'm sure.
There we go.
That was his name.
That's your name.
Yeah, well, I thought I knew so much more about them.
Yeah, well, there we go. The pressure of the minute.
Oh,
well, I think you were blagging it.
Okay, cool.
Didn't seem to have a comprehensive knowledge.
I actually have a master's degree in Tudors.
Kev, oh no, it's me up next. Oh, Kev, what have I got? Hold on, here's an envelope.
Alex, your topic is how batteries work.
Okay, let's do this. So there's obviously a lot of different types of battery. There's car batteries, there's, you know, the standard batteries using remote controls that come in different grades. AA, AAA, AAAA, D. There's lots of different letters involved. People don't realise why those letters have those letters or what those letters actually signify. AA is double alkali. AAA is triple alkali. D is actually short for Dengsgladen. Dengsgladen is like a German term that the inventors of the batteries, you know, kind of incorporated into their marketing strategy, basically, to signify the amount of protons and neutrons there were in each particular battery. But anyway, that's a bit of a history of the background of the battery. How they actually work, it's very simple. Inside every battery, there's a group of cells called battery cells, and they interact with each other through the process of osmosis, which is a chemical reaction that happens usually in plants, but it's been reverse engineered to provide energy from the plus element of the battery to the minus element of the battery. Plus meaning here was some plant food, minus meaning the excrement of the plant. There we go. Smashed it.
Questionable.
What more could you need to know about batteries?
Osmosis.
I don't know why I drove by.
I particularly enjoyed the explanation for plus and minus, the positive and negative terminals, but or in your case, it's the plus for plant food and
basically
minus for plant excrement, was it?
Basically what I said, the positive and negative terminals.
All right.
I like that the movement of water takes place inside a battery.
Well, it does. I mean, that's how... Yeah,
people die of electrocution.
Yep. So, terminus, actually, I think is the... plural for terminals.
Yeah, but I used it in the singular sense. I said the positive terminal.
Whatever, Kev. Whatever. Yours is volcanoes. Terminal. 60 seconds on the clock. Tell me about volcanoes.
Okay, so there are two types of volcano in the world. Every volcano can be put into one of these two categories, those categories being active and dormant. A volcano is either an active volcano or a dormant volcano. A dormant volcano is one that will never again provide any kind of action in this world. It has essentially become a static mountain or a hill or just a kind of a mound, if you will, that will just stay there as it is, with the exception of maybe some external erosion, and it will just be there. You might never even know it's a volcano. You might just think, oh, look at that mountain over there, that's nice. But in fact, it was once in its history a volcano. An active volcano. Now, an active volcano is one which can erupt at any moment. And when an eruption occurs, it is when molten lava from the Earth's core and crust rises up. Right. I could talk all day.
Oh, volcanoes. Clearly a vocation of yours. A volcation. you did seem to have quite an extensive knowledge of volcanoes there, but I also think that you honed in on the passive volcano looking like a static mountain, as you put it, for quite some time.
Dormant volcano.
How stupid of me. I think you were half blagging it, half... I think you didn't know as much as it seems like you did. So that means you were blagging it.
Congratulations.
But congratulations, because you did it well, is what I'm saying.
Right, okay. Yes.
Well done!
Thanks. I think.
Oh, right. Well, I think we've erupted enough ourselves. That doesn't really make sense. So I think we're kind of fresh out of time. Another edition of the Alex Baker Show done. And we're actually off now for a couple of weeks due to us being on holiday and the like, because it's sort of the Christmas season. Obviously, Christmas is gone, but New Year's coming up and... We're off doing various different things. Kev's got to go back north of the wall. Renee's going wherever the hell she lives. And I'm staying in the kind of greater London area.
But we'll be back with more Pompeian ceremony.
And in the meantime, there's loads of podcasts to listen to.
There are loads of podcasts.
Oh, that wasn't punny though, was it?
I have to say though, you know, guys, I really love you.
We do have a lava on this show.
We do! Tickled my igneous. No. Pomstone, what are they called? Those things you do?
Pumice stone.
That comes from a volcano.
Huh? Yeah, I reckon it's... Huh?